English.
In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence, and the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? There is nothing but sadness of the heart." Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it." And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, "How long will you be gone, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy." And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me.
Nehemiah 2:1-8. Artaxerxes王の第20年 の Nisan の月に、王の前に酒が出たとき、私は酒を取り上げ、それを王に差し上げた。これまで私は王の前でしおれたことはなかった。その時王は私に言った。あなたは病気でもなさそうなのに、なぜそのような悲しい顔つきをしているのか。きっと心に悲しみがあるに違いない。私はひどく恐れて王に言った。王よ、いつまでも生きられますように。私の先祖の墓のある町、墓のある町が廃墟となり、その門が火で焼き尽くされているというのに、どうして悲しい顔をしないでおられましょうか。すると王は私に言った。では、あなたは何を願うのか。そこで私は天の神に祈ってから王に答えた。王様、もしもよろしくて、このしもべを入れてくださいますなら、私をユダの地、私の先祖の墓のある町へ送って、それを再建させてください。王は私に言った。王妃もそばに座っていた。旅はどのくらいかかるのか、いつ戻ってくるのか。私が王にその期間を申し出ると、王は快く私を送り出してくれた。それで私は王に言った。もしも王様がよろしければ、川向こうの総督たちへの手紙を私が賜り、私がユダに着くまで、彼らが私を通らせるようにしてください。また王に属する御縁の番人、アサフへの手紙も賜り、宮の城門の針を置くため、またあの町の城壁と私が入る家のために彼が材木を私に与えるようにしてください。私の神の恵みの御手が私の上にあったので、王はそれを叶えてくれた。
All right, everybody. Good morning. I'm going to take a little bit of a slight different direction today. I met a lady right before church, Pat. The Lord is speaking to my heart about you this morning. And with your permission, I'd just like to share what's on my heart very quickly. Don't get nervous. It's nothing big. But the Lord is saying that the healing that you're seeking for is here. It's amongst you. That you're looking for the Lord for. And that's it. That's all I have. But I believe that the Lord has been speaking to me about that. You know, it's amazing sometimes. I do hear God's voice. I spent my whole life, my Christian life, listening for the voice of the Lord. Sometimes I get it right, and sometimes I get it wrong. This is not a perfect science. I have not gone back to the days when I would boldly say, "Thus saith the Lord," and then I come out with a word, because the person may not be receiving that, number one, and that may not be a "Thus saith the Lord." It may be just me, you know, getting excited about something. But I do hear God's voice, and I was praying all through the service about that, because Pat McElroy is visiting us today, Green Valley resident, or Sonoida, I think you said, or Green Valley, and she's already has another church she attends, but she's here by invitation of Mandy today, and we want to say welcome. But I just thought, how weird is this, a new person in front of everybody here to say that? But I say it with pure love from my heart. Whatever the Lord has been doing in your life, that healing is here. I don't mean in this church here this morning, but now. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible, and I'm just going to share a couple of minutes here from my heart. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the Lord gave me a message one time about now faith. It's the faith right now. What's going on in your life right now? What's the mountain before you right now? What are you facing that seems so impossible to overcome? It could be a number of things. But the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You can hang faith onto nothing out there, but it is really something that you're seeking God for. So I encourage you, have the now faith. Let your faith be right at this moment when you're seeking the Lord and going to God and saying, God, I am striving to see this. I'm looking for this answer. I'm pushing. You know, the Bible says that Paul was pressed in the Spirit. Ever wonder what that means? I'm talking about a scripture out of Acts. He was pressed in the Spirit. And he began to move and motivate and go direction of his life with that pressing upon him. What was it that was pressing so hard on him that he was willing to go to the next city and probably get arrested? I mean, yeah, welcome to Ephesus, Paul. Do you realize that while you're here, you're going to get you're going to get yelled at. You're going to have crowds coming against you. You're going to get beat up in the next city. And welcome to your ministry. Now, I don't think we would be excited to hear that kind of ministry. I just heard on the news not too long ago about some of the things that Christians are having to endure around the world. And it's amazing that what they will put up for and take just for the name of Jesus. So, just with that said, okay, I just want to share those couple of thoughts with you. And okay, out of Nehemiah. So if you would do this, if you have your Bibles, cell phones, whatever you guys are using today. Oh, I did share with you once before about a Bible that I had with me. You may remember this. My Bible at that day was called Old Faithful. That Bible I have had since 1974. When a friend of mine, another a fellow minister, a member of a church, that is, when he saw me one day with my Old Faithful Bible that was at that time falling apart, he felt sorry for me. So he said, "Let me see your Bible." And I showed him my Bible. He said, "I have one just like that." I said, "These are not in print anymore. Don't worry, I'll bring it." And the next Sunday, he brings this Bible to church that was given to his son, but his son didn't want it. And he said, "Here you go." And I opened it up. It was identical to my Old Faithful Bible. And this Bible then, over the years using it, it fell apart. So I had both of these rebound. I'm giving this a little commercial because you can do that. Of course, we don't have Bibles that you use enough today that get worn out. But I'm still the old school. And this Bible, I call it New Boy. This is New Boy. So when I sent it in to the publishers or the company to rebind this Bible and Old Faithful, I named them. And they came back to me and said, "Old Faithful is just about done, but New Boy is in process." I thought, oh, isn't that something? They're using my names that I was just making up. But I love God's Word. I love to read His Word. When I get a hold of a scripture, I'll read it and I'll read it and I'll read it and I'll read it over and over again. I can't tell you why. That's my style. I gave you my testimony about the King James Version, because when I got saved, that was the only Bible I was supposed to read. So, you know, those of you that are Japanese-speaking people in the heritage of Japan, the King James Version was printed, I think, in 1612 or something like that. It's a long story, but it has become the traditional Bible through all the years. And there are some groups of people, not this church, but there are some groups that say you have to read only from the King James Version. And so that was the group I was around. So I went down and bought that King James. I didn't have any idea what it meant. I didn't even know there was a King James. King James, you know what I'm saying, England and all that. So I went down and bought a Bible that I couldn't read. I'm reading these and thous and thuses and, you know, the whole thing. And I remember praying, and I'll share this again because it's such a miracle. I was sitting there at my house, my mom, I lived with my parents, and I was just newly saved, and I just bought my Bible, and it was like so much money that I couldn't believe I would spend that much for a Bible. But the Thompson Chain reference was like almost twice that in cost, so this is what I could afford, but I couldn't read it. So I remember saying, Lord, thinking every Bible was the King James Version, right? Now you understand, I didn't even know where the New Testament was. So years before that, when I was a teenager, I thought, I'm going to read the Bible through. Anybody ever say that? And I picked up this big old thick black Bible that was sitting on my mom and dad's counter, that was our shelf. It was all dusty, and I opened it up, went right to Genesis. Oh, I'm going to read Genesis. And I got into Genesis. When I got into Genesis chapter like 2 or whatever it was, and these begats are coming, and these guys are living like 1,000 years old, and I said, this is crazy. And then that's a thick book to read, and I'm only in the first 3 pages. So I closed it and put it away. And this is now the next time that I actually look at a Bible. Didn't know where the New Testament was. I said, God, I don't have any idea on how to understand this book, thinking this was the only version out there. Yeah, I'm very immature. And so I prayed, okay, Lord, please help me to learn this Bible, to read this Bible. It was a simple prayer. And I flopped it open to 1 John, if I remember, it was 1 John chapter 3. And I started reading verses, and to my amazement, I understood every word. And since that day until now, for some reason, I can grasp what the King James is saying. I usually translate it to somebody else who says, what in the world is that saying? And it's a miracle of God. It wasn't like something, I didn't go to school to learn Shakespeare and all that old English style. It's just something the Lord did in me. And I usually, don't quote me on always, but usually read from the King James. But am I stuck there in the King James? No way. Cell phones were just becoming the big thing in church, and I made a comment to our congregation, and I forgot, I would guess I was preaching like I am today as a kind of not the regular preacher, but I said, my wife comes to church every Sunday with 20 versions of the Bible. And they looked at me like I was crazy. 20 versions of the Bible? And she holds up her phone and says, it's all in here. And they were, you know, like, huh? And so she's got 20 versions of the Bible. I read other versions, and I love to read what's there. So I do all that, but I always kind of fall back to the King James. So that's just me. And you don't have to read it unless you want to be someone who's going to say, what in the world does that say? Then you're going to call me up, and I'll try to translate. Let me get into the Word this morning. The purpose of this message, the theme that I'm bringing out to you, is boldness. You know, If we don't hit a target, and we're going to talk about prayer, if we miss the target, then we've missed the target. A lot of people pray. My dad would pray. He would pray like, bless all the missionaries in the world. Well, that's not hitting the target. That's a general prayer. I'm not saying that's wrong, but maybe God wants us to be a little bit more specific in our prayers. Okay, so I'll talk about Nehemiah. I'll talk about boldness, that he had a boldness in what he prayed for. That he was not just bold, but he was brave, and he was honest. What does God want from us? It's a conversation back and forth. He wants us to speak to him. Remember, I told you I spent all my life learning the voice of God, hearing that voice. It's not easy, but the Bible said it's a still, small voice. It's way deep inside. When you're pressed, as Paul was that one time, he said, pressed in the spirit. When you're pressed to get an answer, God doesn't want you to rush into the answer. He wants you to take a step back And think about it, and pray about it, and wait on the Lord. How many times have I not even followed my own advice? And it's just, it has got me into a mess almost every time. It's assuming that God wants me to do this. Or just thinking, oh, this must be God's will, because God wants everybody to be saved. But the truth is, when God begins to deal with us about a certain area, like pinpointing that prayer request unto the Lord, saying, God, I just need your help right now to know what I'm supposed to do. And I'll show you where Nehemiah did that. But he didn't have an hour to do it. The sweet hour of prayer became the sweet 10 seconds of prayer. But he prayed, and I'll show that to you. So I want to open our understanding today that when we pray, I'm talking about all of us today in this church, when we pray, God hears our prayers. And God moves, and he directs. Things are happening. There's angels moving around. There's activity within the heavens. You say, how can all that happen with my one little tiny prayer? I don't really know how it all fits in with our understanding. But the truth is, when God begins to do something like this within our lives, you have a prayer. Even though you may think it's just a little tiny prayer, God is stopping things. He's moving things. He's touching people's lives. It may not happen instantly, but right then and there, God is beginning to move. He's making it possible for you in your life to have this answer come. And sometimes it comes quick and sometimes it doesn't. But the Lord wants you sometimes just to wait on Him until He really speaks to you. And boy, that's hard for me. I like instant answers in my prayers. And I get impatient when I don't get them. And I have to sit back and say, okay. I said, if I was in charge right now, God, I would have this answer right now. But I'm not in charge. And he lets me know. And sometimes, as the Lord does these things, there are those moments when you need an answer, quick. And that's where Nehemiah was. He found himself in a place. See, in chapter 1, he prayed. Remember how he prayed? Remember the word beseech? I beseech thee, O Lord. We don't use that word today. That's an old English word. It means, man, I'm really getting down to it, Lord. I'm getting to the point where my heart is just broken. My life is needing to touch the heart of God. I feel the pain of my people. The walls of Jerusalem are broken down. And he began to pray, I beseech thee, O Lord, to hear my prayer. And he reminded God about all the promises. And all that told me that it's okay for us. Even today, one of our songs, Remember, Lord. I forgot all the rest of the words, but we were to remember. Having God remember. Does God really need to remember anything? I mean, like he forgot. No, but he wants us to be in tune with him in that place. So, here's Nehemiah. This might be the next day, I don't know. But the next scene that we see in chapter 2, it opens up that Nehemiah, his job was a cupbearer. A cupbearer. Well, we don't have a cupbearer today. I was just thinking, you know, maybe I'll ask my wife for a cup of coffee. She'll bring it to me. She doesn't pre-taste it. Well, she does sometimes, you know. Is that sweet enough for you? And I'll say, a little bit more creamer. And send her back. But so we trade off. But in those days, a cupbearer was a little bit bigger of a job, especially for the king. And part of his job was to make sure there was no poison in the drink. So he was kind of the, you know, and if he doesn't die right there, then okay, it's good. And well, he was bringing a cup of wine to the king. You know, I can just see him coming along. And he's got sadness of heart. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in this place. My wife knows me so well. You figure after 40 years of marriage, she knows me so well. She says, something's on your mind. And I'll try to hide it. I'll say, nah, I'm okay. A little while later, she says, you don't look right. And then and sometimes she'll say, come out with it. And I don't want to burden her down with what I'm going through, you know, because we all got our stuff. But she knows when I'm that way. And the king saw the face of Nehemiah, saw his face. And Nehemiah's face was like he was wearing the sadness all over him. And Nehemiah, the king said, this can only be sadness of the heart. Something deep down is bothering you, Nehemiah, and you have never been like this before, and I know you're not sick, and so what's up? Now, make my own English into this, okay? This is the Tom Leepa version English in this story. And he said, so what's up, Nehemiah? You've got sadness of the heart. And Nehemiah says, well, listen, How can I be happy? How can I be rejoicing? How can I be excited right now when the walls of Jerusalem have gone to ruin? And then the king, and I'm moving quickly into my thought here with this, because I want you to see this. The king says to him, "What do you want me to do?"
Whoa!
Really? Now, here's what I want to share with you. Before, if I forget this part, I want to make sure I get it in right now while I'm thinking about it. He was operating, Nehemiah was operating in two different laws of nature, or two different realms, let's put it that way. The first one was what you may say natural. The king says, in a natural way, "What can I do for you? What can I give to you?" These are all natural questions. And Nehemiah was also working in the supernatural. So my point there is, do not be alarmed when what you see in your life looks like just happenstance. Looks like it's just things happening just because they're happening. I was sharing the other day with a guy that I was, he was in my car and I'm driving, and I did Uber for a few hours the other day, and I had a student from the U of A. It's a university right up the street. Do you know where that's at? Okay. And so he's in my car and he's telling me about how hard things are. And how tough it is, and that he had taken, believe it or not, he already had a quiz. It's like you've been in school for, what, 2 or 3 days, and you get a quiz, boom. And he said, "And then I was late to one of my classes, and the teacher locks the door." Right? And he couldn't get in. He said, "I'm so down. I've already been tardy and late for one of my classes because the teacher locks the door, and I got to get to my next class." Oh, another story, you guys. This is last year, but this guy gets into my car. This is during all this stuff going on when they have the fraternity and all that stuff. And he says to me, "I'm in a rush," I thought. He said, "I'm in a rush." That's a word you guys use during this time about, I don't know what you do there, word rush. You recognize the word? You can shake your head? No? Don't recognize it? Anybody? Rush. I said, "Oh, you're in a rush." And I'm going in and out of traffic. He said, "You don't need to go that fast." I said, "I thought you were in a rush." He goes, "Oh," he starts laughing. He says, "You don't even know what I'm talking about." He tried to explain it to me, and I still didn't know. Well, this guy the other day said, I'm on a rush or in a rush, whatever. So I got the word. I know not to rush now, not go too fast. And then he was telling me he was really down and all this. And then I told him the story. I said, one time when I was in college, the teacher said, right before the biggest exam of the year, after we do all this study and it's the final exam, and he names this guy. And he says, I'll just say a name, John or whatever. He says, "You've had perfect attendance all semester." And we all go, "Well, great, who cares?" And he said, "You've never been late to class. Therefore, you get an A on your test, and you may leave." And I was so upset. I said, for that, he gets an A? He doesn't have to take the test? And I said, well, it upset me, because sometimes you will hear something that upsets you. But in a natural way, what I heard there had benefit for me in a spiritual sense. That's where I'm going. So I heard that, but it made me remember that God honors a faithfulness. And God honors just being a good citizen in our city, being a good person, just being a good person. God honors that, but it seems natural. So that's what I was driving at here. What seems natural to you may be God working in the supernatural, and that's how it was going for Nehemiah. He was in the natural. The king said, "You got sadness of heart. What can I do for you?" And then Nehemiah, he got boldness. This reminds me of the scripture where it says, "Let your request be made known unto God, and the God of peace." Can anybody quote that scripture? Because I won't be able to get the rest of it for you. But, "And the God of peace will guard your mind, heart, and soul," whatever it says, that God hears our prayers. "Seek ye first," we sang that song, "the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things that we worry about all day long will be added unto you." And how much time we spend worrying about all those other things, and all God wants us to do is seek Him first. So at that moment, Nehemiah prayed. Now, how fast is this prayer? Pretty quick. Nehemiah prayed. So let me read the scripture. "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. Then I was very afraid. And the king said unto me, Let the king Then the king then said I unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my fathers, and the sepulchres lieth in waste, the graves lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make a request? What's on your mind? There you go, that's my translation. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my fathers, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, and the queen was sitting with him, said unto him, I will honor that request. And he got a little bit more bold. But in the meantime, in this particular scripture, Nehemiah prays unto the Lord. And he calls upon God. And in that moment, he's between two worlds. He's got the natural world and the supernatural world. And in the supernatural, God is about ready to do something that looks pretty big and mighty. And in the natural world, he needs to have the favor of the king. He cannot do this alone. My message to you is, we do operate in that world. Not everything is supernatural. Okay? There were a number of days that these disciples and apostles of Jesus in the upper room were just sitting and were eating and were doing all this fellowship before the Holy Spirit came poured down upon them. They were doing mundane things. And your life may seem mundane today to you, but I assure you, God is moving, God is operating, God is moving things around. I just really, prayer is powerful. We sometimes skip on just how powerful prayer can be. So Nehemiah, he became bold, and he asked for more than what was offered him at the moment. I'll be in that in a moment. He was brave. He's talking to the king. It's not like your next door neighbor. This is like a city official, somebody around you that has power. And you recognize that power. And you recognize how bold this is going to be, saying, well, the king says I may look sad, but it's only because those walls have been all knocked down and the gates are burned with fire. But now I'm going to be bold. I'm going to go into the king and I'm going to ask him, Lord, king, send me, Nehemiah, a cupbearer. I don't even know, you know, I don't know how much of his hands he's ever used in his life. I like to work with my hands. I love it. I'm a left-handed guy. And my right hand doesn't always know what my left hand is doing. It's like, he's doing all this stuff. He's like hanging around just down there. You know, every once in a while, I'll bring them both together. Like in church, I'll clap and my left hand says, oh, there you are. How you doing, lefty? And the right hand says, hey, I'm pretty good over here. How are you doing? Good. And then I'll raise my hands and they're kind of like up together. But if I shake hands, a right-handed handshake, I like a good handshake. Not like that. Give me a good handshake. But if I hammer something, it's with my left hand. Pow. I used to practice. You know what a hammer is? Anybody here have a hammer nowadays? You have a hammer gun, power hammer. My buddy and I would get 16 penny nails and 2 2x4s, and we would whack those nails until we learned how to put them in 3 hits. And we bent a lot of nails. That was what we wanted to do because we thought that was a game. And then we got the bright idea one day to throw a hatchet or like this axe thing at a target, like they do in these lumber shows, right? Wow, that's a good idea. Yeah, let's do something else fun. Let's climb a tree with these spikes on our legs. You know those things. We climb up a big eucalyptus tree. Not smart. If my mom knew what I was doing, she probably would have not been in favor of that at all. But what I'm saying is, these hands, that Nehemiah was a cupbearer. Maybe he wasn't one that was into building something. Maybe he wasn't like a real builder. And yet he's got this burden. I want to go there. I want to build the walls. I don't even know how to put together 2 bricks together. But that's what I want to do. And the king said, all right, you get to go. You get to go there. Yeah, and I'll be with you on that. But then Nehemiah gets bolder in his prayer. He says, you know what? While this door is open, I'm going to go all the way through it. It's just not open a little tiny inch. I'm knocking that door open. I'm going forward. I'm going to ask for letters from the king on the way, the 950 miles as he has to go. That's how far the traveling was. I'm going to travel all the way there, but I'm going to have letters from the king saying I've got permission to do this. He was pretty smart. And the king gave him the blessing. Now we're not into to the next half of this particular chapter for you to read it, but just think about this. When you feel boldness come upon you, when you feel like it's time to really be bold, it's time to really pray about that, my friend, just go ahead, go on through that door. Amen. I was telling someone the other day, I said, you know, I always treat doors as open when I've been praying about something and thinking about it until that door closes. But there's sometimes, and Julie, you'll remember these days, there are several times this happened where we saw the door open, but we didn't know what was beyond that door. Right? I mean, this was faith. We're doing something by faith. And so we say, that door's open, let's go. We both heard the Lord tell us, go to England. We didn't know what was after that door. We didn't know what's beyond that door. As far as I was concerned, it was just a thin, narrow road. And it was a step of faith. But we felt that that door opened, and we just went on through that door. There's sometimes in your life that you're going to have to be bold. You're going to have to be brave. You've already prayed about it. You've even fasted about it. You've listened for the voice of God. But the door opens. How many times have the U of A students decided to switch degrees? And they do. After 2-3 years in one area, they said, well, that's not for me. And another door opens. I like that one. Well, here's the point. If you feel it in your heart, don't be afraid. I'm going to give the year about, 1985, maybe before that a little bit. It was before that. I said to my wife, two little kids, I said, Julie, I really want to go back to, I want to go to college. I'd never been to college. I want to try my hand at college. And she said, well, go to college. And I said to Julie, hold it a second. We've got two kids. It's going to cost us a lot of money. What are we going to do? So listen to this. A few years later, when I go into my first year at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, Julie calls me on the phone one day. So I was going to school in the morning, and whenever I get a break, I would go paint houses. So I had changed my clothes. I was painting a person's house or hanging wallpaper or something. And I get a phone call from Julie. And she says, I want to apply into the nursing program. And I said, have at it. Yeah, great. I'm going to school. No problem. What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of like a year later, right? After I am settled down and our money is okay and everything's just moving along nicely. And then I get another phone call. Guess what? What's that? I'm in the nursing program. Like now? So here we go. Because we felt that was an open door. Here we go. We're both in school full time. We have books everywhere at the house. Two kids in grade school. And by the way, you guys, I'm not a mathematician by any means at all. When my kids got to third grade and they started showing me things that were, or fourth grade, and it was like kind of leaning into algebra, I said, you've lost me. You're on your own after this. And somehow they made it. And one day I saw Anna's math paper, and I looked at it, and she had nothing but letters on the whole side of this page. Had letters, you know, all these funny marks. I turned it over. I said, Anna, this is not math. There's not one number in here. And she goes, Dad, that is too. And I, whatever it was. And she was so good at math. I said, where did you get this? I didn't, you know, algebra. I don't know, both sides. Can't be, forget it. I just take, you know, 2 + 2 kind of thing. That was my way, you know. Oh, another story. I'm sorry for the stories, but okay. I'm in math class. And the teacher said, 2 negatives make a positive. I said, that's good news for my checking account. Because I'm in the negative right now, and if 2 of those make a positive, I'm for it, man. Move that baby into the positive side. So I rose my hand. I said, does that work for a checking account? And he said, you don't really understand what I'm talking about, do you? I said, not really. And he said, well, you have to look at a number line and, you know, whatever. So, but anyway, we were in school at the same time, at the same time. And now all of a sudden, we're both learning and studying. We're both like, you know, taking tests. And my wife is all nervous and she has to get a B or better in her grades. And we're always looking at the college where she's going and the test she just took. And, oh, her name is still there. And then pretty soon, she graduates with an RN degree. I graduate with a communications degree. I don't just stop there. While that door's open, remember the open door? One of my professors said, you ought to see about going to the School of Theology. I said, ah, yeah, maybe for a week. I'll try it, because they let us do that. You can try it out for about a week. They're pretty smart. I go in there, and it was right up my alley. It was about the Bible, all these things I said. And all of a sudden I said, well, I'm going to go to the School of Theology. For 7 years, I was in school, straight on, trying to work a part-time job. I delivered pizza. I did all these things. I hung wallpaper. I painted houses. Julie got her first job as a nurse. Wow, $11 an hour. We thought we hit the gold mine, right? But here's my point, you guys. When Nehemiah saw the door open, when he saw the door open, he said, I'm going to take a chance. I'm really going to risk it now. I've already asked the king for permission to go there, but I haven't asked him for the letters to go with me. I'm going to take that step of faith. It was the now faith. He said, right now, at the moment I'm thinking about this, while this iron is hot, I am going to appeal to the king. Let me go with letters. And those letters, you will find out later when I get a chance to preach next, came in handy for him. So the 950 miles, which was a long trip to be taking, I guess, I don't know if they rode camels in those days. They do not look comfortable at all. I don't know how they got there. If they're going to walk, all right. That's not a quick time. And during that time, don't you know that Nehemiah's faith is being strengthened? Amen. And when I got to college, another story, I didn't even think I could pass college. I was a C and D student in high school. I don't know how they let me in, but they did. But once I got there, I figured out how to get a good grade. And once I figured that out, I was okay. But the Lord honored that. I graduated in 1994 with a Master of Divinity degree. When I went back to school again in 2001, I felt like the Lord opened that door. I got a Master of Education. I was the first guy in my family, even up till now, that ever went to college. And nonetheless, get a master of two different degrees. I'm a master of education. I mean, if you really want to know about education, I'm a master at it. Not really, but that's what they told me. I got the degree, and it's up in my office, you know, says, Master of Education. A master of education. What do you want to know? There it is. I'm a master at it. Yeah. So I know all about the history of Greece. No, I don't. I know about nothing. But I'm a master at it. Master of Divinity, that's another big one, isn't it? It's kind of scary. You got an MDiv? Yeah. I can sign a letter and I can put MDiv. That's short for Master of Divinity. Whoa. You're a master at it. Not really. Nehemiah was learning these three things. Be bold, be brave, be honest. What does God want from us? Be bold. Stick up for Jesus when everybody else is turning their head away. Lift up Jesus wherever you go. It's really important. Be honest, true to yourself, and be brave. Notice when God has opened a door. And if you're not sure about that door opening, call on other people to help you pray through it. And God will see you through it. Nehemiah was sad. I want to read my conclusion to you. Because of the condition of the walls of Jerusalem being totally in disrepair. He wanted to go and rebuild the walls, but he had huge responsibilities where he was. He was the king's cupbearer, next in command. But God intervened in a miraculous way. Nehemiah needed to work in what we call the natural world and the supernatural. We may think that only God works in the supernatural, but this is proof positive. Both worlds God will work in. So what you may think is natural, maybe God is in the supernatural working things out. Man, it's wonderful. You ever pray for a lost loved one? Anybody here? Raise your hand if you have a lost loved one. Look at you all. Do you ever lose hope? Are they ever going to come to the Lord? God is going to honor that prayer. He will honor that prayer. Amen. God's word, you all know the scripture, does not return void, right? It's sent on a mission, and that mission is to accomplish what it is that you've asked God to do. And so nothing's going to happen until we pray. But when we pray, God hears, then we move according to God's will. All right, one last thing today. About a month ago, or the last time I preached, I said to you guys, I said that day that I believe in prayer, and this goes right along with prayer. I've made 10 copies of what I'm going to read to you. So if you want a copy, Take one today. If you don't, no problem. Nobody's obligated. But we're in a very desperate place within our country. Texas needs a lot of prayer right now. I've just read where they had 50 inches of rain. I don't know how many feet that is. 50 inches of rain in Houston, I think it is. That means several feet of water. That means a lot of people's homes are completely wiped out. Okay? Your nice house that you've spent a lot of money, you're living in right now, all the furniture you have is going to be all to nothing. So let's keep Texas in prayer, especially that part where the hurricane is doing whatever it's doing. But a list of what I pray for every day, I wish I could start a prayer movement in Tucson for these things right here. I want us to pray every day for Donald J. Trump, our president. Vice President Michael R. Pence. Speaker of the House of Representatives, Paul Ryan. Majority Leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell. Governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey. Mayor of Tucson, Arizona, Jonathan Rothschild. And then this church sits in Ward 6. There's six wards here. The Tucson City Council Ward number 6, Steve Kozachik. K-O-Z-A-C-H-I-K. I probably pronounced his name wrong. Why am I doing this? I'm praying as a neutral person, neither this side or that side. Give these men wisdom. Our country needs it. We need direction. I'd like to start a prayer movement of some kind, but it doesn't matter. I'm doing this, and these are my prayer requests. When we start praying, God hears, and God will answer. We need people praying for our country, for our state of Arizona, for the city, and for whatever ward you sit in. Your house is located. Anybody from the U of A, I think we're still part of Ward 6. So keep that in mind. Amen. Let me pray, and then we'll close out, and we'll finish up this morning. Thank you for being attentive, by the way, very much. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, for everybody here, that they would be bold, they would be brave, and they would be honest with their prayers. But when they pray, when we pray, you hear, you answer, and things happen. And it may seem natural in the natural world. It may seem mundane to us. But Lord, let us always believe that you're the Lord of all, and you're hanging on to those prayer requests, and you're moving mightily in a supernatural way, way beyond our imagination and our thoughts. And you're doing things in a great way. I call out faith. I just call it out into this room. I call out faith. Come on down and let us reach out to faith. Faith, now faith is. And we believe that this is now faith. And it's coming. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be poured out. Your faith is going to increase as you read the Word of God. You're going to have more faith. You're going to believe God for bigger things and better things. Faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in God. Faith. And what the Lord is able to do, believing beyond hope what might happen, and just hanging on by faith. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I don't know what happens next. Okay.